Parkside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday evening, June 26th. Dr. Mike Wells preaches a message entitled, Are You High Maintenance?
All right. Thank you, ladies. Boy, that was tremendous. God bless you. Take your Bible, go back, if you will, Proverbs chapter 18. Look at verse 9, where the Bible says, He also that is slothful in his work is a brother to him that is a great waster. Now, I want to speak tonight, as I said a moment ago, on Are You High Maintenance? Years ago, there was the New Year's Eve day parade that took place there. It was taking the Tournament of Roses. They were heading down the street. And some of you remember, perhaps, if you watched that, that there was a float that all of a sudden began to, it looked like it began to sputter just a little bit. And then it died right there in the middle of the parade. I mean, it died right there in the middle of the street. The amazing thing about that is it was a float that represented Standard Oil Company. The problem was they ran out of gas. What is that called? That is called poor maintenance. We have a truck, and I'm kind of partial to my truck. I have a Chevy Suburban. I've had it for many years. I used it all over America in evangelism, and I kind of like my old truck. Now, on the inside, I've got some seats that's not looking too nice right now, and they need a little bit of tender loving care, but I'll be honest with you, that old truck still runs. I lack 800 miles on it, and I'll have 400,000 miles on that old truck. And I'm going to sell it back to the Chevy company and get a brand new one. But I love that old truck. And somebody said, well, have you ever replaced a transmission? No. Have you ever replaced a motor? No. It's just called good maintenance is what it's called. You know, when you have a good maintenance program and you work on things and you keep them up to par, you'll be amazed how much mileage you can get out of it. The problem, I think, in Christianity is the fact that we don't maintain ourselves very well. Now, I want us to look at some things tonight. I'm going to read you some scripture. Over in the book of Romans chapter 15 and verse 1, the Bible says, when then it says that are strong, listen to it now, it says, we then that are strong, it says, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, not to please ourselves. And so he says, those that are strong have a responsibility to bear the burdens of the weak. There are some people that get into what we call a spiritual crisis, and all of a sudden they get backslidden, and all of a sudden they get out of church, and they're not faithful to the things of God anymore, and they need somebody that's stronger than they are to walk beside them and to help them. Matter of fact, the Bible says over in the book of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, or consider thyself, says, lest thou also be tempted. So God says that there is some people that go into an actual fault. And God says there needs to be people out there that are spiritual enough to be able to restore that person when they go into a fault. All right. Now, there's one thing about Brother Wells that is just something that I have a great fear of. I don't have a fear of animals. I used to work around bulls, and so I have no fear of animals. I can get around snakes and stuff like that. Doesn't bother me. You can send me the biggest spider you want to, and I don't care about stuff like that. None of that stuff bothers me. But I'm very careful when I get around water because I can't swim. I will swim like a rock. I mean, I'll go directly to the bottom. And so if somebody's drowning out there in the water, you don't want me to show up because all I'm going to do is say, hey, help him. You know, I want you to swim and I want you to make it. Now, I'll do more than that. I will. I promise you I'll do more than that. I'll see if I can find a rope someplace, or I'll see if I can find a life jacket someplace, or I'll see if I can find one of those life savers someplace. And I'll do my best to heave it out there as I'm yelling, somebody help him, yeah, as much as I possibly can. But if I was to get out there, I was to try and possibly even made it to swimming to be beside you, probably there's going to be two dead men that's out there, not just one. Because as I get out there and I try to figure out what to do with you, I'm also trying to figure out what to do with me. All right? Now, but we should be somebody that rescues other people. The way I'm going to rescue somebody if they're drowning is to throw them that lifesavers, to throw them that life jacket, or throw them that rope. And I'm not going to put myself, stay with me now, in jeopardy of drowning myself. But I'm going to try and rescue them from a secure position. Now, there's a way to do that spiritually. When somebody's overtaken in a fault, you don't get out there and be in the fault with them in order to rescue them. You try and rescue them from secure ground. If somebody's backslidden, you don't go out there and start partying with them in order to help them get right with God. You try and rescue them from a secure ground. If somebody's out there and they're doing things that's not right, and they're doing things that's ungodly, and they're doing things that is bringing a great distaste in the mouths of people that's viewing Christianity, that you don't get out there and do what they're doing in order to try and win them. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in the book of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 22, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So there are those that get backslidden. There are those, if you will, that go through that spiritual crises and they drop off and they don't do things that they should. There's people that are overcome in a fault. And then there's people that just become so burdened about things that they don't know how to bear the burdens themselves. So what do? The Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens. If you remember, I preached a message here a couple of Sunday nights ago where I brought somebody up and I showed that here's a person that is burdened down with the weight of their own burden. That person has their own burden and they're burdened down. But yet the Bible says that we're also supposed to be heavy laden. That means you're supposed to take other people's burdens upon you. If you remember, I gave the illustration about how you're supposed to yoke up with Christ. Why? Because his yoke is easy. His burden is light. And so I showed how we're supposed to yoke up with him. The only way that I can help somebody else to be able to stay right with God, and the only way I can help somebody else to do things that they should do in serving God, is making sure that I myself do not fall prey to the very same things that took them down. Now, I'm saying tonight, here's what your Bible says. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Listen to it. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 4, the Bible says, but let every man prove his own work, and then he shall have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. So while I'm helping somebody else with their burden, I'm not supposed to lay my burden down. I'm supposed to be strong enough to carry my burden and strong enough to carry somebody else's burden with my burden. Oh, wait, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 5, it says, for every man shall bear his own burden. So how is it that I can help somebody that is not bearing a burden well? How is it that I can help somebody tonight that is not carrying the burden that they have on themselves well, so that one day they can bear that burden well? What can I do tonight as a Christian that will help somebody that we would call high maintenance? What can I do tonight to help somebody not to be continually high maintenance? What can I do to help somebody tonight to walk on their own two feet so that now they can stand alone in serving Jesus Christ? It's been an awful long time since somebody had to call me up and say, I sure missed you in Sunday school. It's been an awful long time since somebody had to call me up and say, I sure missed you in preaching. It's been an awful long time in my life since somebody had to call me up and say, I sure did miss you at soul winning. It's been an awful long time in my life since somebody had to call me up and say, I sure did miss you because you were not in your place and you were not serving Jesus Christ the way that you should have been, and where in the world were you? It's been an awful long time. You know why? Because many, many years ago, I determined as a young believer that I was going to stand on my own two feet. Many years ago, I decided that I wasn't going to be high maintenance to somebody, but I decided that I was going to get out there, and it didn't matter if anybody else served God, and it didn't matter if anybody else came to Sunday school, and it did not matter if anybody else was faithful to preaching, and it did not matter if anybody else came soul winning. I was going to do what was right, because what was right has always been right, and what is right will always be right, and there needs to be some people that have some old-fashioned character for Jesus Christ. There has to be somebody that rises up. You cannot sit in the baby chair being fed baby food all the days of your life. You can't do it. You're not going to get the nurture that you need. You're not going to get the strength that you need. You're not going to get the things that you need in your life. There has to be a time when we say, hey, that's okay. I can feed myself. I can make it all by myself. I'm a big boy in Jesus Christ. Oh, wait a minute. Let me show you some things. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 13. Now, say statement number one, high maintenance is needed. High maintenance is needed. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 13, the Bible says, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Listen to it. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14. But strong meat belongeth unto them who are of a full age. So God says that there is people that do get saved, but they cannot handle the strong meat. There is some people that do get saved, and you still have to bottle feed them. There is some people, when I was pastoring up in Tennessee, probably one of the worst sermons I ever preached in my life. You might remember this, but I preached. I mean, you know, we had some new believers, and I was trying to develop them into a state of maturity. And so I preached a message one Sunday night on not all the babies are in the nursery. And I thought, and I like to illustrate things. And so I thought, I'm going to illustrate it. So I had my music director, Brother Kevin Kickline, to come down the aisle, and he had this big old baby diaper on. Now, he had his pants on, you know, but he had this big old sheet wrapped around him. He had this big old safety pin in the side here, and he had a big old rattler here, and he had a big old milk cow bottle over here, and he come waddling down the aisle. I'm saying, boy, I said, there's not all the babies are in the nursery. I said, not all the babies are in the nursery. I said, not all the babies are in the nursery. He's walking down the aisle waddling. Man, they watched him waddle down the aisle. I'm telling you, I lost him. I totally lost him. I mean, you know, he comes waddling up on the platform, and I told him, I had a little blanket spread out right here, and he sat down like a baby, you know. I mean, he's going through all the motions, you know. He's sitting down like a baby, and he flops down. And Kevin weighed probably 225 pounds, modestly. And so, you know, he flops down just like that, and he sits up there. And every time I pointed to him, I said, Kevin, here's what I want you to do, to illustrate it, to make it come alive. I said, I want you to do this. Every time I point to you, I want you to shake the rattle and suck the bottle. I thought, man, it's going to be probably one of the greatest sermons I ever preached in my life. Duh. I mean, boy, you know, I was preaching along, and I said, let me tell you why we're not going faithfully soul winning. I'll tell you why we're not going faithfully soul winning, because all the babies are not in the nursery. That's why we're not doing what we're supposed to do. And I'd point to him. He'd shake the rattle and suck the bottle. Everybody stare at him. I mean, I'm talking about curling all through the audience. And by the way, nobody listened to the message that night. All they know is there was a guy that looked strange, and he was shaking a baby rattle, and he was sucking on a calf bottle. That's all they know. But did you know that's exactly what's taking place in some churches? Some believers have just never grown. They're still taking of the milk. They can't handle the meat. I'm telling you tonight, we ought to have a strong desire that we can handle the meat. How is it, preacher, that we can handle the meat? Let's decide tonight that we're going to walk on our own 2 feet. Let's decide tonight we're going to be faithful because we love God. Yes, it's summertime. Yes, it's hot outside. Yes, you sweat when you breathe. Yes, when you go outside, it's uncomfortable. But I'm telling you, somebody still needs the gospel. Somebody still needs to be saved. The buses still need to run. We still need to be faithful. It's soul winning. Why? That's what God has called us to do. I'm saying tonight that high maintenance sometimes is needed. It's needed sometimes for Christians. Sometimes Christians fall into a lull and they need some high maintenance. Sometimes Christians need to, if you would please, to be cuddled and need to be pampered and need to be somebody that takes them out and practices walking with them all over again because they forgot how to walk like they were taught to begin with. Sometimes there's churches, believe it or not, sometimes there's churches that are high maintenance. Now that shouldn't surprise you, because churches are made up of people. But sometimes you get into a church. Have you ever preached in a church as a man? As one of these preachers that sit here tonight. Have you ever preached in a church and you're giving it your best? I mean, you're giving it your best. Nobody says amen. Nobody smiles. Man, you're coming up, you're stepping on the pews and you're spitting. You're giving everything you got. I mean, you're trying to shower the place with holy water. Hello? Nobody's excited. You give an altar call and they stare at you like a calf staring at a new gate. They don't come for, hello? Well, the problem's not the message and the problem's not the man of God. The problem might be that you're just dealing with a bunch of babies. You know, babies just don't like, you know what meat is? Meat is what some people call just good old-fashioned hard preaching. That's meat. You know, not everybody can take that good old-fashioned hard preaching. Somebody says, well, give it to me nice. Give it to me sweet. Smile with those pearly whites. Give me that goober smile. Pat me on the back. Make me feel good. When I leave here, I want to feel like, hey, sometimes when we need to leave, if we're not right with God, hey, that preacher ought to point it out in such a way that when you leave, you know that you're not right with God. There needs, how is it that our young people is going to get right if it's always soft preaching? How is it that our young people is going to know the difference between right and wrong if we're always patting them on the back and it's always lovey-dovey? Sometimes somebody's got a rare pack. And by the way, that's what's wrong with our churches in America. Why? Because we've lost the fire in the pulpit. There's no smoke in the pews. And I'm telling you, we need to get back to that old-fashioned preaching so that God could take and stir somebody up and help somebody and encourage somebody and change somebody's life. It has to start in the pulpits across America. I'm saying tonight that high maintenance is needed. Sometimes it's needed for those that are Christians that are babies. Sometimes it's needed for those that are Christians that used to be on fire for God, but are not on fire for God any longer. Sometimes high maintenance is needed for those that are sickly. Sickly. You know, sometimes a person gets sick, they get hurt. Let me give you something. Statement number two. High maintenance can help or hurt. It can help or hurt. You know, sometimes when a person needs high maintenance in their life, you can help them or you can hurt them. Have you ever gone to the hospital and said something that helped? Have you ever gone to the hospital and said something that hurt? Oh, come on. Saw a lady walking down the hallway. She was kind of big. As a young preacher, I walked up to her and I said, that's wonderful, that's wonderful, that's wonderful. When's your baby due? She looked at me and she said, young man, I tell you, I'm not going to have a baby. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. The deacon told me you were. No, I did not say that. But I'm saying tonight, sometimes people need that high maintenance. Mrs. Stead was in the hospital. Thank God for those that were able to go by. Brother Dowdy, our senior high youth director, is in the hospital right now. Thank God for those that will go by. You know, sometimes people that are ill need somebody to be able to go by, pray with them, love them, encourage them, and be there for them. You know, sometimes when God lays somebody on your heart, it would not be sinful for you to write them a note. When God all of a sudden lays somebody on your heart, now if he lays somebody on your heart at 3 o'clock in the morning, don't text them. Lay somebody on your heart at 4 o'clock in the morning, don't text them. Oh, you know, don't do that. Don't do that. These guys are saying, he's saying, I hope he lays him on heart 8 o'clock. He says, no, 8:30. He says, about 11:45. But if God lays somebody on your heart, look, contact them at a reasonable time, but contact them. You know, you see him walking down the hallway, God lays somebody on your heart. Hey, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. This is Parkside Baptist Church, the church that is known in the community for being a caring church. This is a church where people hear about, they say, boy, that church has got a good spirit. They care about people and they love people and they reach out. They're not snooty. Well, thank God for that, but don't let that drop. Somebody's walking down the hallway and they're having a hard time. Walk up to them and say, look, I love you. I'm glad you're here tonight. Everything okay? I mean, be able to pour yourself into somebody else. Sometimes high maintenance is needed. And it's not needed all the time in somebody's life, but if they go through a low time, be there for them. They go through a difficult time, a discouraging time, be there for them. Statement number one, I said this, high maintenance is needed. Statement number two, high maintenance can be a help or a hurt. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, the Bible says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Listen to it now, verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean about somebody being overtaken? Listen to it in verse 3. The Bible says, if any man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Well, that's a person that's about ready to fall. Here's a person that's lifted up with the element of pride. I mean, you can tell. You can tell. I mean, the way they strut, they got that cool type of walk. The way they're strutting down the hallway, the way they're striding down the hall, you can tell. You can tell when you talk to somebody if they really care about you or if they're just putting on a show. You can tell. You can tell if you talk to somebody and you say, would you pray for me? And they say, oh, yes, I'll pray for you. And you know they're just spreading out words. You can tell that. Now, wait a minute. Here's what the Bible says. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. The Bible says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So there is the possibility. Stay with the thought. There is a possibility that there may be a season in your life. A season in your life where the Bible says here that you get weary. Now, that doesn't mean you're unspiritual. Look, we're a soul-winning church. We're a church that believes in giving the people of every nation in every place the gospel. We believe that. But we don't believe in just sending missionaries. We believe in doing it ourselves and putting shoe leather at it. It's not by accident that on Saturday morning in a soul-winning rally that we'll have 100 to 120, 130 people that show up on a typical Saturday morning that care about getting out the gospel. That's not by accident. It's not by accident that we have the other soul-winning times that people come in and they go soul-winning and big numbers of people go in soul-winning. It's not by accident. That's on purpose because we're a caring church. But yet the Bible teaches right here that as you care and as you go and as you do good work, you might just get weary. You might just get tired. You know, it's difficult to raise godly spiritual kids in an ungodly, unspiritual world. It's a hard task. And if you're not careful, you'll get weary. You know, it's difficult. Come on. It's difficult to come to church and be faithful. It's hard. And if you're not careful, you'll get weary. You know, it's difficult to have a right marriage and to keep it right and to keep it sweet and to keep it everything that it ought to be. And if you're not careful, you'll get weary. If you're not careful tonight in trying to help your children to go the right way, typically, the first child we're the hardest on. The second child we back off a little bit. Third child we back off just a little bit more. And the fourth child you do nothing at all. And then we wonder why our kids are not turning out for God. I'm saying sometimes when a person has to be involved in giving that high maintenance, it can help or it can hurt. Let me give you an illustration. Give me the three big guys right there in the middle, if you will. Just these three big guys right here. These three. Thank you so much. Come up here. Watch this, if you will. Here you've got these guys, and these guys are, he's working a bus route, and they all are. You work a bus route over here, and you work a bus route right here, sir, and you work a bus route right there. Boy, they're out there, and they're running in place, and they're chasing kids. They're running in place, and boy, they're chasing kids. Man, they're out there, and they're giving everything they've got, and they're going soul winning, and they're caring about people. We run those buses into the Dallas Metroplex, and boy, they're with it. They're with it. They're young. Boy, they're young. Boy, they got the energy, and boy, they're just going at it for God, and they're giving it everything they've got, man. They're just excited. They see a boy over there, and they run over there and give him a track, and they see a little girl over there, and they run over there, and they give them a track, and boy, they see a bunch of kids over there. They go witness to them, and they bring them, and they get them on the bus, and boy, they're excited for Jesus Christ. And boy, they just keep giving it. Then they get on the bus, and boy, they run up and down the aisles, and they preach the word of God, and they do a bus program, and then they take them to Sunday school, and then they run them out to the bus, and they run them to the houses, and they say, God bless you, mom and daddy, and I'm glad that you let your child come to Sunday school. But after a while, they're going to slow down just like Ben. Ben's got sweat off his brow. And after a while, because somebody pointed out, you're getting a little bit slow, he quits. And then he slows down just a little bit more, and he quits. You know why? Because nobody's saying, I just want you to know you're doing a good job. You just keep it up, son. Because there's a little boy out there, and there's a little girl out there that needs Christ, and if we don't reach them, honestly, I don't know who's going to do it. You just keep it up, and you keep loving those teenagers, and you keep loving those adults, and you keep after them, and you don't stop. When you go to Amarillo with your daddy, you make sure your daddy doesn't stop. Yes, you take and you get out there and you serve Jesus Christ and you give Jesus Christ everything you've got. Now, I'm going to tell you something, though. Here's what happens. And we need some men in our church that's going to rise up and help these young men. Oh, you say, I can't work a bus route, preacher. But you can pat on the back as they walk down the hallway. But preacher, you don't understand. I physically can't get on the bus, and I can't encourage them that way. Yeah, but you can shout at them as they get off the bus. Hey, way to go, Dale. Thank God for you, son. Keep it up, boy. You could help them. You could write somebody a note. See, the church family ought to serve God together. But yet at the very same time, as I'm going out soul winning, they need to see me too. So what happens? All of a sudden, Ben gets kind of weak here a little bit, and here's an old man that comes up. Old man comes up and grabs him by the arm. Ben looks back and he sees all those senior hairs. Looks back and he sees how he's graying and losing it on topside. And he thinks there's a man of great depth and wisdom. Wow, I guess perhaps I can trust him. After all, he's an older man, kind of bent over a little bit, and no, you don't have to fake it. It was real. And so, all right. And so, you know, now wait a minute. And so what happens is he helps him up. He just helps him up a little bit. And by the way, it might only be for a little bit. You know what I found out about playing some of these guys in basketball? They bounce back a whole lot faster than I do. I get out there, and they only have to dribble one ball, and I've got two. I've got one here and one there. Man, I'm double dribbling the whole time I'm playing. And I'm telling you what, though, they wear me out. And I only play for a little bit, don't I? Then I say, you have it, it's yours. And I walk away. All right, now wait a minute, though. But did you know in soul winning, they need that type of encouragement? Look. All right, Dad, so you're going through a little bit of a low in your life. Stay with me. Mom, you're going through a little bit of a low in your life. Don't pull your kids down to your low. Don't do that. You said, well, you don't understand, Brother Wallace, I'm going through a rough time. Hey, everybody in this room, you're going to face it. There's going to be a day in your life when you're less energetic. There's going to be a day in your life when you're less excited about Jesus Christ. There's going to be a day in your life where you don't feel like coming to church on Sunday morning. You don't feel like coming to church on Sunday night. You don't want to come to a Bible study on a Wednesday night. Hey, listen, you're going to face those things in your life. What do you keep doing? You just keep going for God. But as you keep going for God, wait a minute, and you see somebody else, what do you do? Here's what you do. You come up and you help them. You come up and you help them. You stand beside them. Now, that's not saying, are you listening to me? That's not saying that you got to be just like they are. That's not saying that. What it is saying is, as a church family, let's not lose the togetherness. What it is saying is, let's work together. Let's go soul winning together. Let's pray together. Let's come to Bible study together. Hey, let the old Parkside Baptist Church welcome all the new members together. And let's walk on to serve Jesus Christ together. That's what a church is all about. I'm saying tonight, thank you. Be seated if you will. I'm saying this tonight, that it's very important that we understand high maintenance is needed. High maintenance can help or hurt. As you become high maintenance in certain seasons in your life, if you decide to stay down and you don't want help, nobody can help you. And by the way, if you don't tell anybody that you're hurting, how do they know? I was preaching for a pastor in Ohio years ago. And when I was preaching for him in Ohio, he said, "Preacher, I got a person mad at me in church." I said, "Why are they mad at you in church?" He said, "Because they went into the hospital and I didn't visit them." I said, "Well, did you know that they were in the hospital?" He said, "No. They didn't tell anybody." I said, "Well, why in the world are they mad at you?" I mean, come on. Preachers are good, but they can't see through walls. I mean, they're, you know, come on. You can't expect them to know everything that's going on. Hey, when you need some help, throw up the flag. When you need some help, go to that youth director. When you need some help, go to that Sunday school teacher. If you want to be more spiritual than you are tonight, get with somebody that can help you, walk beside you. That's what church is all about. You're not supposed to try and do it all by yourself. You've got people that love you. You've got people that care about you. You've got people that's on your side. Saying tonight, high maintenance is needed. Statement number two, high maintenance can help or hurt. Statement number three, and I'm done tonight, high maintenance can be controlled. It can be controlled. You heard about people that have high blood pressure. If they take the right type of medicine, do the right type of exercise, it can be controlled. Have you seen somebody that has an ill-tempered child? Have you seen that? Using the right measurements, using the right help, the child can come under control. Have you seen the wife that goes out of control? As the wife that goes out of control, they can be helped. What about the husband tonight? You see the husband that goes, hey, they can be helped. There's nobody in here that's out of the reach of God. Nobody. "Well, preacher, I think that God can use so-and-so, but he could never use me." Stop believing that. Throw that away. That is no good. Because if you're willing to be used of God, God can use you. "But preacher, God has not used me in years." Well, then it's about time you get back on the firing line. You took yourself off. You put yourself back on. So, well, God's the one that took me off. Kind of doubt it. You probably took yourself off. You know, most of the time, our biggest discourager is us. We look in the mirror and we say, "But I can't." But my Bible says I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. We look in the mirror and we say, "But you don't understand. There's just no way I can accomplish it." No, no. God can accomplish it through you. You know, if we would just learn that we are his children and that he is our God, and not just our God only, but our Father in a very personal way, you'd be amazed at what God could use you to do. Listen to it. The Bible says over in Psalm 55 in verse 22, says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord," listen to it now, "and he shall sustain thee." So he said, as you come to him and you've got a burden, maybe your burden tonight is to work on the bus route and you're weary. What do? You cast your burden upon the Lord. You get his help and he shall sustain you. Maybe you have the burden tonight of a Sunday school class and you say, but preacher, it's not growing like I want it to grow quite as fast as I want it to grow. When's the last time you took it to the Lord? But preacher, you don't understand. My marriage is a mess and my child rearing efforts are not turning out quite like I thought they would. And preacher, my business that I just started is heading towards that which is file 13. And I just don't know what to do. My Bible tells me, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. Everybody needs somebody that will help them to cast their burden upon the Lord. There was a fellow that lived in Asbury Park, New Jersey. He was tinkering around one day in his garage in 1894. His name was George W. Cole. Mr. Cole was tinkering around in his Asbury Park garage in New Jersey, and he was making up some mixtures. He had a bike that he rode everywhere. He loved his bicycle. But his bicycle would rust. The chains on it would begin to rust, and before you know it, it would lock up, and he couldn't ride it. So he got in there, and he was in his garage, and he was tinkering around with some all sorts of different things, and he found some things that he could use to be a lubricant, and he took that lubricant, and he started putting it around there, and then he found some stuff that could prevent rust, and he put it in there, and then he found some stuff that could cleanse. And so he had a cleaner and a rust prevention type of thing, and he had a lubricant, and he mixed it all together, and he came up with an element that still is used today called 3-in-1. And did you know, because he put three things together, it worked more powerful, stay with me, than it did by those single elements. Now I'm saying tonight as a church family, as we learn to work together, some of us tonight are lubricant. We're good at lubricating people. We're good at making people have an easier way of seeing things. We're lubricant. We have the ability to be able to help people see that God can use them. We have the ability to lubricate things. Some of us tonight are rust preventers. We might not can lubricate somebody to do the job, but we can help them not to rust out. We can encourage them a little bit, enough not to quit. Some of us are cleansers. Boy, we get in there, we clean house. Some of us are able to do that. But when you take all three of those combinations, make it into one compound, and you've got three powerful agents in one, what you've got is you've got a bike, you've got a life that will run freely. And what we need to do tonight is we need to decide tonight that we're going to be somebody that understands high maintenance. Tonight, if you're going through a low in your life, and by the way, in the summer times, we all hit them. We do live in Texas, and it does get a little warm. So in summertime, I'm telling you, sometimes we get a little low in our life. Now, what do? We decide tonight that even if we're going to be high maintenance, that we're not going to stay high maintenance very long. We decide tonight if we see somebody that is one of our church members and or a visitor even, they're walking down the hallway and you know them from outside and they're coming to our church and they're visiting and they're walking down the hallway and they're having a hard time tonight. Let's be that kind, loving church family that walks up to them and encourages them to go on for Jesus Christ. I'm saying tonight that God wants us to help people and to get help for us if we're facing some high maintenance in our life.
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. Or if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you come visit our church.